Did y'all hear that? Invitation song is 294. It's good to see all of you this morning. I'm going to quote, first of all, one of the elders from the past here. Tonight's the first Sunday, so it's singing night. And I have been hearing that there was an elder here at one time that said, if you want the singing to be better, move forward. I think Brother Tommy Brown used to tell you that. So, try to move forward a seat or two. And I know you're sitting in the front, you're going, well, I can't go any closer to the front. But everybody can move forward one seat. And you don't realize how much better the singing will sound when you are closer together than it does when you're spread farther out. Jason and I have been listening to recordings of the singing. Because we're going to have a singing coming up in June with Brother Jim Deason on that last Friday night of the meeting. And we need everybody to sing out, and we need everybody to be as compact together because it sounds better. Have you ever been to a singing in somebody's house? And the singing sounds so much better when you're there. You realize you're closer together than when we're at the services, because everybody has their own pew and it's 20 feet away from somebody else. And I don't like sitting close to people. So, but for one night, for about 40 minutes, let's try to sit closer together and see how the singing sounds. Because Brother Jason's going to record it again tonight. We've been doing a series on why the church is divided, and I figured I'd take a break from that, give you a break from it, and use the Bible for a different lesson today. You know, when we study God's Word, there are multiple passages that are worthy of our consideration. We can look at Matthew chapter 5 and verses 3 through 12 and read about the Beatitudes, the citizenship of those in the kingdom of heaven. And then we can read in Mark chapter 7, verses 14 through 23, and read about the defilements of the heart. We can go to what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and read about love, the qualities of love, if you will. And then in Galatians chapter 5, Paul writes in verses 19 through 21 about the works of the flesh. And when you briefly summarize each one of these, the characteristics and the blessedness of those who would be citizens in the kingdom of heaven, like the Beatitudes, comes out. In Mark, the defilements of the heart is the source of evil and sin that defiles all of mankind. And then the kind of love that is possible in the lives of those who would follow Jesus is what Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 13. The works of the flesh that can prove or prevent one from entering the kingdom of God. And after you describe all of these things, the works of the flesh, especially in this passage, Paul goes into another wonderful passage describing what we know as the fruit of the Spirit. He begins in verse 22 and he says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." You've done away with what he's just talked about, the works of the flesh. He said, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So let's look at this context and see what Paul is telling us here. When we look at this context, he tells us, if you consider both the works of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, beginning in verse 19 through verse 26, he's telling us that the flesh lusts against the Spirit. We're in a tug of war and we're the rope. Okay? We're the rope in this tug of war. He tells us in verses 16 and 17, "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's like we've been talking about in Bible class this morning from Luke chapter 12 and Matthew 6 about anxiety. Focus on God. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another. You cannot live in the world and in the kingdom at the same time. And somebody says, but that don't make sense, Jeff. You have to live in this world. That's true, but Paul tells us in Romans 12 and verse 2, you don't have to live like the world. He tells us to be transformed and not conformed. He says, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Notice what he says here. If you walk according to the flesh, you're not able to do the things that you want to do spiritually. It prevents you. It's that anxiety, those temptations that are put before us, and it prevents us from serving God the way that we really want to. When we allow the works of the flesh to interrupt our lives. You see, the flesh pulls us. And the Spirit pulls us one way. And we're in a tug of war, as I said a moment ago. And that's me and you. We want to do what the Spirit says, but the flesh is over here saying, no, 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 no. You come this way. And then God is saying, no, you come back this way. It kind of makes you think of the little cartoon where the devil and the angel would pop up on the shoulders, remember? And the devil with his little pitchfork would say, yeah, go ahead and do that. And then the angel on the other side would be going, no, my child, you don't want to do that. That's not right. I've got a grandson that I got him to watch some Roadrunner and Coyote with me one time. And he was upset. He didn't want to watch any TV that I wanted to watch. I thought, well, he'll like this. And he laid there and he pouted. And he watched one of them, and then the next episode come on, and the coyote was fixing to do something dangerous. And my grandson sits there, and he pouts, and he goes, well, that's a dumb idea. That ain't going to work. See, that's the devil talking to us. It ain't going to work what the devil tells us to do. It's a dumb idea. And following Christ is the smartest thing that we can do. The flesh is pulling at us, trying to pull us into the world. And it's a struggle for all of us, and that struggle is different for each person. Paul goes on in this context and tells us that the Christian must serve the Spirit. We have to. He says if we're led by the Spirit, we're not under the law and its condemnation. That's what he says in Galatians 5 in verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And he says in verse 23, the second half there, against such there is no law. To live under the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to do the good things in life, the spiritual things in life. You do that and there's nothing wrong with it. But as Christians, we have been crucified in the flesh through baptism. Paul speaks of that in the very next verse. And he says, those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Crucified, you think about it. What happened when Christ was crucified on Golgotha? He died. And Paul is telling us here, if we're going to serve Christ, if we're going to belong to Him, then we have to put to death, mortify, some translations say, the flesh with its passions and desires, to where we're no longer following them, but following Christ. I wonder sometimes if we really want to put them to death. I wonder sometimes if we don't like the flesh and its passions and desires, and we're not so readily willing to put those things out of our lives. We like to, it's like walking by the cake and you know you're not supposed to, but you taste that icing, don't you? See, I'm the taste tester at our house. Marilyn cooks something and she's going to send it to, maybe she sends it to one of you and she says, take a fork and take a bite of it before we send it, so I'll make sure it's good. Sometimes I do it without her telling me. So I know I'm not supposed to every time. But we've got to put to death those things that are going to lead us astray in this life. We've got to mortify them. We've got to crucify the flesh and live spiritual lives. And we must walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 25 again. Since we're made alive by the Spirit again in baptism, it's only fitting that we walk in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That should be our daily routine, to get up in the morning and make our conscious decision, I'm going to serve God today. I don't care what the devil's going to put in front of me. And we must be walking in the Spirit, and therefore we can be productive in the fruit of the Spirit. We can be productive in everything that Paul lists in the fruit of the Spirit. We can have love, we can have joy, peace, long-suffering, or patience, gentleness or kindness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance or self-control. All of those things will come so much easier if we put to death the works of the flesh. You see, when a person walks in the Spirit, then they will show evidence of such things by the fruit that is born in their lives, the fruit that they produce. So let's talk about this fruit for a few minutes. What is Paul talking about? What's the meaning of this text? When he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, what does that include? Well, the first thing that he lists is love. Now, if I ask you, what does Paul mean by love? And I would get many different answers. But I'm going to tell you that love is active goodwill toward each other. It's best exemplified by God and Jesus. What kind of love did they have for you? A sacrificial love. A love where God was willing to send His only begotten Son to this world to live and to die for you. What kind of love did Jesus have for us? One where He was willing to leave heaven and come to this old earth. And we talked about this morning where the young man come to Him and says, Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus didn't want to be involved in things of that nature because He was here to usher in the kingdom. He talks about that the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's gladness, delight, especially in response to God's grace. Are you happy that you're a Christian? You know, I've met some Christians in my life that are the sourest people you'd ever want to meet. I don't understand that. Why is a Christian sour, hateful, just the opposite of what you would describe as joy? We ought to be glad all the time. We ought to be delightful people to be around all the time because of what God has done for us, because of His grace, because of His unmerited favor that He has bestowed upon every person that is obedient to His will. He talks about peace being a fruit of the Spirit. Peace. How many here want peace in their life? To have harmony with their brethren. To be in concord with God and self. And that, you know, that's made possible by the very Prince of Peace who left heaven for us. Because of His love for us. And we can have that peace if we're willing to follow Christ. The Bible Knowledge Commentary talks about these and says, these are virtues that find their source in God. We find these three particular fruits of the Spirit in God. But then there are fruits of the Spirit that incorporates things like long-suffering. We don't use that word very much, long-suffering. And it's something that I have to struggle with because it means patience. Self-restraint in the face of being provoked. You ever had anybody get up in your face, put their finger in your face, make you think of an old drill sergeant and get up there and put the bill of his hat right in your face and he's tapping you with that bill of that drill sergeant hat and your head's going back? You remember that? Did you ever have that happen to you, Jim? It's a scary thing, but he's trying to provoke you. Well, there are people in this world that will try to provoke us as Christians, as children of God. And we've got to have patience, and we have to have self-control, self-restraint. We've got to suffer long. Another fruit that this incorporates is kindness. That's a sweetness of temper that places others at ease. Born of mercy. You ever been around somebody that just seems to calm the whole situation? Those are wonderful people to have in your life. That when things are starting to get kind of topsy-turvy, and you know that as soon as so-and-so walks into the situation, that it's just going to kind of let the air out of the heated discussion, and it's just going to... That ought to be us. That ought to describe each one of us, to have that type of kindness, that we can have that mercy, that when something is going wrong, or whatever the discussion may be, or whatever, that a sweetness of temper that places others at ease. And then there's goodness. Goodness has to do with benevolence. Kindness in action has reference to passages like Galatians 6 and verse 10. As we have opportunity to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. Our goodness ought to be seen and shared with everyone in the world, everyone that we come into contact with. But you know, I still got a little redneck in me, a little country boy in me, and if I see somebody out begging for money and they're not willing to work, I don't want to help them sometimes. And I need to stop that. I need to stop that. I would rather see someone that maybe is looking for food and feed them as to give them cash. Somebody that needs a bill paid, I'd rather go pay the bill, because in our society today, it's so easy to not trust people. Because the news, local news anyway, talks about that there are professional beggars. That they will go out and beg, and they'll put on their dirtiest, grungiest clothes, and when they get done in the end of the day, they go across two or three parking lots, get in their Cadillac or their Mercedes, and drive home. And that's how they make their money. So it's not easy to trust people today, and it's not easy to have this goodness, this benevolence, this kindness in action. But it's something that we all need to work at. Again, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says that these virtues reach out to others. These fruits of the Spirit help us to reach out to other people that are in our lives. And then there's some fruits of the Spirit that integrates, like faithfulness, the virtue of reliability, dependable, trustworthy. And this is not necessarily talking about faithfulness to God, but being faithful to your brothers and sisters, being one that you can be counted on. Dependable. That if you tell someone that you're going to do something, then do it. Be faithful in your deeds or actions with others. And then there's gentleness, which means kind treatment of others, born of humility. Galatians 6 and verse 1, we're to bear one another's burdens. And then there's self-control. Well, that's another one I'd have trouble with. Self-control. The ability to hold oneself in. Mastering the desires and passions by allowing the Holy Spirit to help us. I have trouble with self-control. I don't know about you. You may have trouble with this one. You may have trouble with some of these others. But again, the Bible Knowledge Commentary says that these virtues are guided by our general conduct. The flesh and the spirit, they're at war with one another. But when we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, we need to make application. We know what they are. But how do we make application of these things? Have you ever noticed it may it says fruit of the Spirit and not fruits. It is the fruit of the Spirit and not the fruits of the Spirit. And again, I go back to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, and it says of this point, indicating that these qualities constitute a unity, a togetherness, all of which should be found in a believer who lives under the control of the Spirit. Allowing the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, to dictate our lives so that these fruits of the Spirit work together singularly and collectively in our lives. We've got to strengthen ourselves in one that we may be weak in, and allowing the others to help bolster that one. The Bible Knowledge Commentary goes on to say of this that the Holy Spirit produces one kind of fruit, and that fruit is Christ-likeness. All the virtues now listed describe the life of the child of God. Each one of those that was listed on that circle a moment ago, each one of those describes the life of a Christian. Each one of those is what we should have in our life. So one who truly walks in the Spirit is going to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And you cannot bear the fruit of the Spirit without walking according to God's Word. So it comes back to what we said a moment ago. You cannot say that you're a Christian and be a Christian on Sunday only and live in the world like the world the rest of the time. It's all or nothing. It's 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year of being a Christian and walking the Christian life and producing the fruit of the Spirit. So let's notice how one is born of the Spirit. You're going to say, well, I know this because Paul says in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 that it comes from being baptized, basically. It comes from walking in the Spirit. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're following the commands of God, if you're living your life by this book, then the fruit, then the lust of the flesh is going to be easier for us to overcome. I believe that. Do you? We have to believe that. We have to live our lives by that. The fruit of the Spirit is born of the Spirit. He goes on in Galatians 5 and verse 18 and talks about that it comes by being led by the Spirit. If you are led by the Spirit, then you can produce these fruits. But you're not under the law. You have to allow the Spirit to guide us in our lives. And it comes from those who live in the Spirit. Galatians 5 and verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So without the aid of God's Word, we're not going to grow. We're not going to be productive producing this fruit. So let me ask you, do you want to produce the fruit of the Spirit? Brother Keith Hamilton had an excellent lesson yesterday in the men's Bible class out at Danny's place. And there were several that stayed around afterwards. And Keith and I talked, when everybody else had left, that it doesn't matter if all of these issues that he talked about are coming up in the church. We can't stop them. We cannot stop the issues, the problems that are coming into the church if you and I don't know God's Word. We have to study to show ourselves approved, a workman of God that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We've got to study. We've got to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, giving Him the glory. If I don't do those things, then it's not going to matter what comes in the door. You know, I asked in the Bible class last week or Wednesday night, if someone comes in and preaches in the pulpit and they preach error, and I sat there and I go, wow, that was a good lesson. But it was error. Did you listen? Well, yeah, I listened, but it sounded okay to me. Then maybe you don't know the Word of God. Maybe you are not being led by the Spirit. Maybe you're not studying as you should. All of us need to study each and every day. Rick's taking a vacation. Marilyn's going to work. I'm taking a vacation. Faye's going out of town. She's going to take a vacation. When we take a vacation, is that a reprieve from studying God's Word? Well, I don't have to take my Bible with me when I go on vacation. Do we? I don't have to pray when I go on vacation because I'm taking a break. Do we? If I take a break from serving God, then that tug of war starts to lean more toward the flesh than it does the Spirit. Because I'm taking a break. Without the Spirit, we cannot bear this fruit. So let's notice how one receives the aid of the Spirit. First, like Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3 and verse 5, we must be born of the Spirit and water. In other words, we have to be baptized. Because it's there that one receives the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what Peter said in his response to the people of his sermon in Acts 2. Verses 38 and 39. Baptism, therein, is where one experiences a washing of regeneration and a renewing of the Holy Spirit. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. So then, once that takes place, we have to walk in the Spirit. And we do that by setting our minds on things that are spiritual. And that's what ensures our living according to the Spirit. That's what Paul says in Romans 8 and verse 5. The things of the Spirit would be that the Spirit has revealed to us. Hence, study to show yourself approved. A workman of God that needs not to be ashamed. The Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, Ephesians 6 and verse 17, is what leads us to be productive in this fruit. And then also we need to pray for the strength of the Spirit in our lives so that He can enable us to put to death the deeds of the body, Romans 8, 12 and 13, and whose strength can be accessed through the very power of prayer, Ephesians 3. So we're aided by the Spirit, the Word of God. We're aided by the Spirit to the degree that we follow God's Word and persist in prayer. You know, I've told you the story before about a man that committed adultery and just messed up his life. And the preacher asked him, says, when did you first realize that something was wrong? He said, when I quit praying. I stopped praying as often as I should. Now, I'm not saying that just because you don't pray as often or you quit praying that you're going to commit an adulterous relationship. But it may be something else. Because when you quit asking for strength and guidance from God's Word, God's Spirit, then that's going to allow the flesh to pull you back into the world away from God. We need to be talking to God on a regular basis and asking for strength and guidance. Let me ask you, which would you rather have? A life that is infused with love, joy, and peace that's helped produced in your life by the Spirit of God Almighty? Or a life that is afflicted by hatred, jealousies, and outburst of wrath due to the fleshly lust that's in our lives? Which would you rather have? A life developing long-suffering, kindness, and selfish and goodness with the help of the Holy Spirit, or a life that's devastated, destroyed by contentions and envy and selfish ambitions due to these fleshly lusts? Which would you rather have? And I like this quote that I found. Make good choices today so you don't have regrets tomorrow. Choose wisely today. So which would you rather have? A life that's producing, exuding faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control with the aid of the Spirit, or a life that's wearing you down with jealousies, contentions, and immorality because of fleshly lust? Which would you rather have? You want your life to be dominated by the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit? Jesus gave us a choice. He gives us a choice today. Through His blood, He can cleanse us of any and all sin. And through His Spirit, He can empower us to live a holy and righteous life. Again, it comes back to our choice. Are we willing to accept this gracious choice that He's provided? Paul said in Galatians 5 and verse 16, "Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Are you walking in the Spirit? It's a beautiful passage. It's a beautiful text to think about. And it's powerful because it gives us what we need. It's an outline inside of God's outline, telling us how to live. Are you being productive by producing the fruit of the Spirit? Or are you allowing the works of the flesh to dominate your life? You know, when we think about the works of the flesh, we, and rightly so, we associate it with things of this world. But when you talk about contentions, jealousies, wrath, we could have that against our own brethren. So the works of the flesh can work against us as a collective body here at Eastside. So-and-so said something hurt my feelings 20 years ago, and I ain't ever forgot it, and I ain't ever going to forget it. That's the works of the flesh. How would you feel if the shoe was on the other foot, and they said, "Well, you hurt my feelings 40 years ago, and I ain't ever forgot it"? Yeah, but you hurt mine. You know what I'd have told my kids? Get over it. If no sin is involved, why are you dwelling on it? Oh, but they hurt my feelings. I bet people in the world have hurt your feelings a lot worse than your brethren have. And I'll be the first to admit, your brethren can hurt your feelings as hard, if not harder, than anybody else in the world. I've been there. And as Dave Ramsey says, been there, done that, and I've got a dozen t-shirts to prove it. Okay? I've lived through it. I've had my family attacked by my own brethren. I've been attacked by my own, and it does hurt. But we cannot dwell on those things. We've got to move on. You going to let that keep you out of heaven? If they hurt your feelings, did you say something to them or tell them? Or did you whisper it over here to someone else? You see, that's a sin. And it's a sin to dwell on things and not make it right. It's a sin to allow those things to keep us from serving God. The works of the flesh, it's not just what's out in the world around us. The devil can be at work here in this collective body if we allow it. Let's not allow it. Let's be productive in producing the fruit of the Spirit. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. This is how you become part of this productivity of producing the fruit of the Spirit. It's first by becoming a child of God. We talked about that in the lesson. Baptism is the first step. then allow the Spirit of God to direct you with His Word, to lead you to be productive. And that will help lead others to be productive. And that will help to lead others to be productive. You know, if you listen to the radio program this morning, I talked a little bit about as strong as we are, we're only as strong as the weakest member. It takes all of us to make Eastside work. It takes everybody here. And if I'm only here doing half of what I think I ought to be doing, or that's all I feel comfortable doing, or I don't want to step up, or I'm going to hold my grudge, then that's a weak link in this church. And it ought not be. And it can be sinful. And if you have that attitude in your heart right now, it's something you need to repent of. So if you're here today, you need to respond by putting Christ on in baptism or make correction in your life. I pray that you'll make your way to the front while together we stand and sing.